Time for Civic Matters on 89.1 WEMU. I'm Patrick Campion in for David Fair this morning. But as always, our pal Mary Morgan is here this morning. How are you this morning, Mary?
Patrick, dude, I'm great. I'm happy to talk with you today.
Well, I got my caffeine going so we can have a lively conversation. Now, I know that, I don't know if this is public knowledge, but you're in South Dakota, but you're still able to execute your Civic Matters duties no matter where the winds may carry you.
I am. I'm actually watching the sunrise over the Missouri River, so it's quite a beautiful morning here.
But the question is, are you going to be spoiled with 70-degree temperatures where you're at today? Because we're going to have that for a high here today.
I hate to break it to you, but yesterday we hit 80 here in Pierce, South Dakota.
Oh, good. So you're sending it our way. Awesome. Oh,
that's
wonderful.
Right.
That's good
right.
news. So I know that you've published a list on your website at AnnArborVotes.org as well about the August 7th primary election, as the filing deadline has now passed. So competitive races for Ann Arbor City Council seats, many other positions. You know, what's the big ones that you're keeping an eye on? Were there any surprises in this list?
Actually, I was happy to see that there are competitive races in each of the positions, because that is often not the case. In fact, 2 years ago, you know, we had for the Democratic primary, Christopher Taylor was unopposed, and the two council members in wards 2 and 3 were unopposed. I'm always glad to see when there are competitive races. One of the things that surprised me didn't have to do with the council, but there is a district court race 14A, where one of the incumbents is challenged, which is kind of unusual. That's Cedric Simpson, and he's being challenged by Tom Bork. I think that's something to watch for sure.
Yeah, and judicial races aren't something that we hear a lot about. People tend to focus more on the representatives and the senators. I think, what is that? Is that a nonpartisan race, or how does that structure work there?
It is nonpartisan, and the 14A district court serves Pittsfield Township primarily. The Ann Arbor court is 15A, the position there, Joe Burke, is not challenged. So, these are important positions, and it's often hard to get information about them. We're going to be developing profiles for all the candidates, so people can check out AnnArborVotes.org in a few weeks. But, there's a lot on the ballot, so I hope people are paying attention. We'll be, looking for sure to see the mayoral race between Christopher Taylor and Jack Eaton in Ann Arbor, and then the Ypsilanti mayoral race is not challenged. Beth Beshear is not challenged in August, but there will be an independent candidate running against her in November. So,
right, and wanted to make that note too. This is just for the primaries. If you're running as an independent come November, you don't have to have declared yet. That's correct, right? You can still see names on ballots in November that aren't on this list.
Sure. And, one of the people who ran last year as an independent, Ali Ramwali, who's the owner of Jerusalem Garden in Ann Arbor, he actually is running as a Democrat this year in Ward 5 against Chuck Warpahoski, the incumbent. But we could very well see other independents running, in many of the races. So that's something to check for later this year.
The Y lot. I think that it's being talked about quite a bit in Ann Arbor,
I love
of course.
How you started...
Well, there's a lot of different views on this.
I love how you started that with a deep sigh.
Yes, well, there's a lot of passion, let's just say, surrounding this topic. So it's one of those things that people want to discuss further, which I think was on City Council's mind. Of course, there was a story that came out in M Live recently too about some financial donations from Dahlman tied to specific council members. So another thing clouding this issue and clouding this conversation is that new information. But regardless of how you feel about it, there's a special meeting tomorrow, and even if you can't go, you can watch it online. Tell us about this special meeting. What's going to be the topic there?
Well, it's going to be the same thing that's been the topic for the past, I think, 3 or 4 meetings that the council's had on this issue. It is the Y lot and whether to buy it back from the developer, Dennis Dahlman. So the resolutions are the same as they've been. There's a vision resolution, kind of a resolution of intent that Christopher Taylor and Zach Ackerman from Ward 3 put forward. looking at what they would hope to see on that site. And then there's the actual resolution to authorize buying it back and then to issue bonds to make that purchase. So, you know, I really hope that they make a decision. I know that advocates who are supporting affordable housing on that site are going to be making a big, they're going to be coming for public commentary as they have for the past few meetings. So, you know, it is a big property, very prominent. I can't believe we've been talking about this really since 2003
right.
when the city bought the property. So
and
hopefully they'll make a decision one way or another.
I know that we use that word affordable housing a lot, and the developer that had a project nearly approved for the Y lot was putting forth the notion that they were trying to shoot for 150% of market rate, which in Washtenaw County would mean a one-bedroom apartment would be around $1,400 a month. That definition of affordable, I think, is different depending on where you live and your income circumstance, certainly. Tomorrow night, 5 o'clock, where is that event again?
It's at City Hall.
Okay, just regular
301 East Huron.
All right. That's right.
It's going to be at the council chambers.
And we will put up a link as part of this post later on this morning. You can find it at facebook.com/WEMUFM, also WEMU.org, if you'd like information about watching that session online if you can't make it there. Michigan Divided. This is a special screening of a movie that you're involved in. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, you know, Michigan Divided is a documentary that the Center for Michigan and Bridge Magazine put together, and it looks at several families from across the state, the UP, Flint, the Grand Rapids area, and some other locations that talks to them over the period of a year about their political views, about their economic circumstances, about their values. And it's really kind of trying to remind us that although we do have some very different views on issues, that there are a lot of things that are commonalities, that we have common values. And so part of what Bridge Magazine and the Center for Michigan is trying to do is to really have some meaningful conversations around that topic. So the United Way of Washtenaw is hosting a screening on Thursday this week, 5:30, and we're partnering with them on that. I hope people can come out. It's going to be at their headquarters at 2305 Platte Road. We're really grateful for them for hosting this, and we're going to have free food. So.
Well, that's good. And this is the time, you know, it seems like right now, probably more than in recent memory, anything I could think of, we need something to watch that reminds us of our commonalities and the things that bring us together rather than the things that divide us.
I totally agree. You know, we are so polarized, and I hope that and these kind of conversations are happening all over the state, these kind of viewings of the documentary and then follow-up conversations. So I hope that this can kind of move the needle on where we are right now.
And then Friday morning, a breakfast that I'm actually going to be going to because of the topic being discussed, I'm really interested in covering this on behalf of WEMU. It is the Leaders Connect Breakfast, and they're going to be focusing on school safety issues. This is a regular series, right? So these are guests coming in to discuss something of pertinence. Tell us about how this came about and some of the players behind it.
So Rob Pasek is the man who puts these on, these Leaders Connect Breakfast, and he really brings in each month a speaker on a particular topic. And usually, you know, there's a fee to get in. This one is free, I think, because it's a community interest. And he's focusing on safety issues, including bullying and gun control, and bringing in some people who are dealing with this on a daily basis, including the Ann Arbor Public School Superintendent, Janice Swift, and the School Board President, Christine Stead, as well as the Dean from the U of M School of Education, and also the Detroit Public School Superintendent. So I think that'll be a really interesting discussion, clearly people who are, at the front lines of these issues. And that's at Zingerman's Roadhouse from 7 to 9 on Friday.
Mary, as always, it's unfortunate, but our time is up. It's flown by. We thank you so much for bringing us this incredible information. As always, you could find more about us at WEMU.org. And if they'd like to learn more about you and your organization, Mary, where can they find you?
CivCity.org. And have a great week, Patrick.
Thank you so much. That was Civic Matters on 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti. And as I just mentioned, if you'd like to share it, you can find more at WEMU.org.